You graduate then from
graduated
OU.
In 51, but I still had two courses to complete my ROTC commission. So Coach Drake said, our assistant, Shockey Needy, is a reserve officer, and he's been called to Korea. Ted, why don't you stay on as my assistant? In those days, you only had one assistant. So I stayed on for a year, started to work on my master's degree, and finished my commission, and then I went in to the Army at Fort Sill and then on to Korea.
You were shipped out to Korea in what year?
53.
Who were you assigned to?
I was assigned to the 2nd Division Artillery. I was an artillery officer. They assigned me to the French Infantry. Back in those days, the United Nations forces, Thailand would send a unit. The French sent an infantry regiment, but didn't send any artillery support. So we had to furnish the artillery support. So I was a forward observer for the French infantry for a while. And then when the ceasefire occurred at Panmunjom, incidentally, there's never been a peace treaty signed. The North Koreans and South Koreans are officially still at war. But anyway, when they sent the French to what was then French Indochina and later Vietnam, they were surrounded at Dinh Binh Phu, if you happen to remember that history, and most of them were killed, the guys that I was with.
And you'd bonded with these people. These were your comrades, and that had to be tough to hear that kind of news.
Yeah, it was very difficult. They were great people. In the morning, the French would send up French loaves and omelets for us to eat. At noontime, we ate sea rations, and then at night, I would take the Jeep with blackout lights, drive down this road that the engineers had built with blackout lights, and I would eat with the French infantry and their battalion. They knew how to fight a war. They would have a 5-course meal. They would have a printed menu, and they had me read in French. Can you imagine this Oklahoma nasal twang? And that's how they'd get their kicks every night of my trying to read the menu. Yeah, we became great friends.
They had good food and you had sea rations.
Yeah.
Tell us what kind of situations you found yourself in Korea.
When I arrived, they were backing off. I was up overlooking the Hontan Valley. We lived in bunkers. The bunkers were made out of sandbags and 12x12s. You had a little opening that you looked out of with a BC scope. It's kind of like a periscope. You don't expose your head, but you're down below with this periscope type. They call it BC scope. Your job was to constantly look over the front to pick up any movement. Then when the French left, I went back. And my job was to train the recon sergeants and the new second lieutenants coming. I'd become a first lieutenant by that time. My job was to train them in adjusting artillery fire.
It had to be, at times, terribly cold there?
Oh, bitterly cold. A lot of soldiers, to get out of the war, they would let their feet become frostbitten. They made that a court-martial offense. So we had thermal boots we called Mickey Mouse boots, and they looked like Mickey Mouse. If you kept your feet moving up and down all the time, then your feet would stay warm. And then you had big parkas. They're very well equipped. Contrary to years before that, we were so poorly equipped, and we went up to the Yalu River, and then the Chinese intervened and overran our troops. We weren't equipped at all for the winter time, but by then we had really good equipment.
Did you have any frostbite yourself?
You know what? Yes, but you didn't want to turn it in. Even today, my circulation in my toes is not normal. But I ruined my hearing because I spent quite a bit of time as an executive officer at the battery where our guns, our howitzers, were going off. So you're taking commands from the fire direction center on the phone. So your ears aren't protected, and you're relaying those to the guns. So those guns were booming, and it's had an ill effect on my ears, and in fact, that's why I wear hearing aids today.
The soldiers who on purpose let their feet have frostbite, that could lead to amputation of their toes?
You know, I don't know. All I know is when we arrived there, that was one of the things they told us. You are responsible not to get frostbite.
Were you ever in life-threatening situations?
Not so much, because in artillery we were backed off from the Hontan.
How long were you in Korea?
almost a year. Then the Army, like it happened so many times, they wanted to reduce the amount of troops. And I actually came home. I was supposed to have a year's duty there and had about 9 months duty before we came home.
So that was a happy day to be discharged.
Oh, yeah, you bet. I was discharged at Colorado Springs.
Discharged in what year?
54, I guess.
So the war was winding down.
Yes.
At that time.
It was winding down some. Yeah, it looked like they were not going to have any problem. But they didn't sign a peace treaty. That ceasefire at Panmunjom was...
Well, it's a good thing that ceasefire is held, hasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
they still bicker and fight, but that ceasefire has held. You were never around General Eisenhower at that time, and he was so prominent.
Yeah.
And as I recall, the 45th parallel, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And that was the line of demarcation, I believe.
Yeah.
Were you near that?
Well, yeah. We were
right
on
there.